The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 16. God, I know Thou art in the world. On one of the days after arriving in the mountains, I was walking from our camp in the cave to the place where classes were held. The path was through a boxwood mountain forest, and I happened to be alone. All our people had gone ahead, but I stayed in the mountain river, and now I was alone with nature again. It was like I had grown wings. I felt like I was alive. Right now, at every moment of time, and this feeling permeated every cell of my body, overflowing with energy that I wanted to share with the whole world. And then a song started playing in my head. This was a new lyric over Alla Pugachova's composition. The words appeared as if by themselves, filling the famous song with a completely different spiritual meaning, so natural and simple way. I was not going to compose anything on purpose, but when I started, I was surprised at how organic and great it was.
God, now I know Thou art in the world, and every single minute I breathe Thee, I live Thee, both in my dreams and in reality.
I began to sing, and the song flowed from my soul. I felt so good. I enjoyed the creative process, rewriting the original lyric on the go and immediately singing new words. I gave myself over to it, being sure that there was no one around for many meters. I did not hesitate to sing in full voice. It flew freely on the wind, losing itself in the crowns of trees and thickets of boxwood bushes. And suddenly, I felt someone's presence and realized that I was no longer alone. I spun around and saw Chandra. The mentor was walking along the track very close to me, looking at me and smiling. I didn't notice her approaching at all. She moved silently, like a real stalker. How long had she been following me and listening to my vocal exercises? I looked up, and then, taken aback, I stopped singing. She smiled back. My attitude to my mentors, as representatives of the power, was so reverent and respectful that I did not even dare to draw extra attention to myself. Then, on the forest track, we didn't say a word to each other. Chandra quickly overtook me and went forward in her quick pace. And later, when I was already living in the teacher's house and was his closest student, the mentor suddenly sang this very song, which was then included in the collection of divine hymns, Number 4, just the way I sang it. To say that I was surprised was nothing. I was filled with amazement, joy, and trembling excitement. It turned out that the mentor had heard my entire song back in the mountains and decided to record it to play it between the lectures and practices. This case was a perfect illustration of how those very songs of the school were born, one of which had impressed me so much at the regional seminar. They were composed by the students themselves, spontaneously obeying the impulses of the soul. The seminar in the mountains remained in my memory as one of the brightest and happiest events. The mentors gave lectures filled with the knowledge. There were a lot of practices. The whole theory was always worked through. Meditations, yoga classes, relaxation, various deep practices. And all this was alternated with walks along the mountain trails. We saw waterfalls, gorges, boxwood forests, meadows with rhododendrons, incredible sunsets and sunrises. Here I had my first experience when our group went for a walk, not in the forest, but down the river. Of course, at first our track passed through a forest, a clearing. Then, when we reached the river, it became clear that our route would continue along the river. I stopped in indecision. The water in the river was cool, and the sun was shining brightly overhead. How to walk in the river? Barefoot? Or with my shoes on? Wet my clothes? And then wear wet shoes all day? Of course, if I had been alone, I would not have gone any further down the river. But at that moment, I just followed the example of my mentors. Without any hesitation, they just walked on with a smile, as if it were an ordinary road and not a mountain river, and they encouraged everyone too. Sometimes, the water in the river was not just up to the ankles, but above the knees, and we had to bravely overcome these areas, walking after the mentors. Sometimes the stones were slippery. I had to be very careful so as not to fall into the water. And here was another revelation. I never thought that one could just walk along the river, jumping from stone to stone easily and freely, as the mentors did. What was the secret they had? It was both simple and strange. It turns out that when you let go of your body, let it move by itself, and turn off the mind, a miracle happens. The feet seem to know where they are going. Moreover, the body moves very quickly, jumping from stone to stone. But as soon as you lose your guard and concentrate on your body, your feet slip into the water. Singing also helps a lot. Yes, singing. Songs, mantras. They remove the fear of falling and help you easily overcome such minor obstacles. One day, while returning from a walk, it began to rain heavily. We were already very close to the camp, and a small part of the way lay along the mountain river that flowed next to the camp. Every morning, this amazing river pleased us with its late murmur and coolness. And now, this very river, with crystal clear cold water, the level of which barely reached the knees, suddenly began to get muddy and overflowed. Higher and higher, first knee-high, then almost chest-high. The water rushed in a rapid stream along its course, becoming muddier and muddier. It would be very dangerous to fight the elements alone. The rain instantly soaked everyone to the skin. The mentor told us to join hands, and walking in one single line, helping each other, we were able to cross this raging river and safely reach the camp. It was surprising that the bad weather had not spoiled the beautiful mood of the walk. On the contrary, the state of happiness and fullness simply overflowed from within. We felt each other's support and solidarity. Difficulties united us more and more. We became one single team. And all this was possible thanks to the experienced guidance of the mentors. So, we overcame another obstacle on the way. Soon, the sun came out and warmed us with its gentle rays. The water in the recently so stormy river began to subside gradually, and after a while, before us again appeared a shallow bubbling creek with crystal clear water. In the camp, my sleeping place was in front of the entrance of the cave. In the daytime, it was perfectly illuminated by natural light from outside, and in moments of rest, I even could see the high sky with clouds majestically passing by. During the days of the seminar, I formed a previously unthinkable sleeping schedule. I did not want to sleep. 3 or 4 hours were enough to recover from an active day. And it was not just me. Many members of our group noticed similar changes, especially those who were in an open state, who were attuned to the perception of energies and the acquisition of the knowledge. We went to sleep late and got up literally with the first rays of the sun. First, we went down to wash our faces in the mountain river with crystal clear icy water. Many left the camp and went to seclusion. They found a place they liked, where they did their exercises and meditated. Everyone used these morning hours as they saw fit, but almost no one slept. I often lay in my place in the camp and looked up at the sky. These moments made it possible to feel and realize the knowledge and experience received. In general, we were fortunate to live in this cave. At that time, it did not yet become a tourist attraction. This was the Novoalisherskaya cave on the Khosta River. A few years later, electricity was brought there. Convenient stepways were made, and the cave started to be shown to tourists. The same fate awaited the cave of St. Mary on the Kudepsta River, which was located nearby. It was called Kolokolnye. Our mentors took us to all the 4 caves, which were important places of power. We meditated on them, gaining amazing experience. On the way to the caves, We walked through a fabulous boxwood forest, among moss-covered boxwood trunks. The moss hung down from the branches in a weird way, like in a fairy tale. On the way, we bathed in lakes formed in the mysterious gorges of Khosta and Kudepsta. It was such a wonder! I had never seen such a miracle of nature, and not just me. It's amazing, Yelena, one of our group members, once said. I've lived in Sochi all my life, and I've never been here. Whoa! Why? I was surprised. Well, I've always been busy, you know, work, family. I go to the forest for seminars only, and even swim in the sea only once a month. Then I remembered that I usually could not find the time to spend it somewhere in the wild. How often I had to force my will to stifle my desire to go to the forest. Instead, I spent time on long trips to Moscow to buy videotapes for my store and studied useless and unnecessary things at university. And I even did not have a family or children yet. Now, when I was in a place of power, I discovered all the meaningless of such a life. I came to a clear understanding that I didn't want to continue living as before. The mentors told us a lot about the specific features of places of power, gave many examples from their practice. Energy is everywhere, Chandra said. But there are unique energy flows that carry a mighty creative power. Where these flows intersect, places of power appear. It is said that there is more of God in such sites than anywhere else on earth. And if these places are also clean from the constant presence of man, then the presence of God can be literally felt. Then one of our group members, Maria, raised her hand. But are places of power common to all people? Or are there personal natural areas where only a specific person feels easy and comfortable? That's an interesting question, the mentor said after a short pause. We like to travel, discover the world. Sometimes we are pulled by an unknown power. Day and night, we dream of being in a certain place, and once there, we finally feel at home. But places of power are a different story. Here, a person does not just feel comfortable. They feel a living energy that gives warmth, love, security, like in the womb of a mother. They are cleansed, transformed, and when they return home, they never remain the same. Then the hand of Yelena, the girl who had complained to me about the lack of time to stay in nature, shot up. I've heard that if you go to a place like this on your birthday, the impact will be even stronger. Is that so? The mentor smiled and nodded. Yes, that's right. Getting to a place of power on your birthday is a special chance to reshape your entire life. There are important days in every person's life, but their birthday is a very special occasion. There are no words to describe what you experience, see, and feel in such a place. You will understand everything when you touch the whole universe, feel true love, energy, freedom, and most importantly, feel God is inside of you. They say that in places of power, it is sometimes dangerous to wish for something, to dream of something. I asked, why is that? Here, everything is taken literally and executed instantly. But what's wrong with that? Someone asked from behind. Nothing. But what if your wording turns out to be inaccurate or incorrect? For example, there was such a case. One participant traveling to places of power in Altai constantly complained about her phone, which was with a terrible connection. Then, when she returned home, the entire year she was literally inundated with phones, which, in principle, is not bad. But anyway, it is better to come to places of power with a group of like-minded people and a wise guide. Together, it is easier to focus on the main thing, maintain the right emotion and purity of mind. What can happen if you come to the place of power with some negativity? Negative thoughts automatically trigger the payback mechanism, replied Chandra. And it immediately kicks in. For example, a similar story happened to Andre, a businessman from Colombia. He went alone on a journey to a place of power with a desire to gain divine support in order to defeat competitors in business. But since he was constantly alone, he cultivated the wrong thoughts. As a result, his own business collapsed, and he lost everything, his money, company, and competitors. Indeed, for any negativity here, you will have to pay immediately. The mentor paused and looked around at all the participants. Now, if there are no more questions, I want to say a few words about shamanism. The very concept of shamanism is associated with many social stereotypes. Unfortunately, even in our fairly free time, we are still in the shackles of ideas, misconceptions, and prejudices. But the world does not stand still, and this is great news. People have been fighting shamanism for centuries, but it existed, it exists, and will exist. Many Buddhists do not even assume that Buddhism is the son or even grandson of shamanism. And there's more. Christianity and Islam were also not without their influence. I do not think that representatives of these religions will be happy to confirm this now. However, you can easily see this for yourself as soon as you open the veil of the most ancient knowledge of humankind. One woman from our group, Natalia, raised her hand. "I'd like to tell you my story," she said. "May I?" "Of course," said the mentor. "Life stories of participants are always very interesting and revealing." Then Natalia got up from her mat and came forward to stand next to Chandra. "I have been practicing shamanism for 6 months now," she began. "I have been going on shamanic tours and participating in various practices related to unity with nature, communion with spirits. Why do I need all this? I wanted my life to change. I learned about such tours through friends when a group of travelers was going to Altai. I had never been there. I had nothing to lose. It seemed that it wouldn't be any worse than now. I decided to be on this journey and didn't even imagine that I would just not lose, but find a new destiny. There were too many practices to name, but I especially remember the practice in which we formed a new future. For the first time in my life, I felt that I could afford to make my dream come true. I had no idea what my soul was really striving for. It was a revelation that was a real source of inspiration for me. Shamans know how to restore their health, strength, and success through various practices and rituals. Now, I also know some techniques, thanks to which my old melancholy and loneliness have disappeared. Now, I lead a healthy lifestyle. I spend a lot of time in the wild. I've quit my old job and do what I really like and earn money from it. I found new friends and my soulmate. Natalia's sincere story was met with a wave of applause. It was like witnessing a real miracle, and it was incredibly inspiring. "Thank you for sharing this with us," Chandra said, and when Natalia resumed her seat, she continued. "The purest, most primordial manifestation of shamanism has been preserved in the Siberian tradition. There are no drugs, no black magic, and shamans are not savages, but modern people with excellent education. For many, meeting Siberian shamans is a real revelation." I listened to the mentor and thought that this must have happened to me. I am a person of the mental plane. I have a critical mind. And I have always needed proof and explanations. At school seminars, I fully received the very knowledge and explanations I needed. Few people now need the explanations. Chandra continued, that the trance state is a natural human need. In trance, a person has access to all their abilities, talents, and experiences of the past. The possibilities are almost limitless. This is the time of trance states. So drugs, alcohol, and trance hold the younger generation tightly. However, in shamanism, trance is achieved by using monotonous rhythmic movements of the body, your own voice, overtone singing, playing the drum or khamus, and trance breathing, from which today's current practices, holotropic breathwork and rebirthing, have emerged. We also tend to believe in miracles, especially when there is hope only on magical powers. Very often, shamanism becomes the last resort when it is necessary to save someone's health or life. Perhaps the most vivid stories of healing one person who has already taken a step towards eternity can be cited from this tradition. And indeed, every year, more and more people around the world are trying to find answers to their questions here. Even celebrities and politicians seek advice from shamans, both openly and tacitly. Some save their health or the health of their loved ones. Others solve money issues. Others attract good luck and fame. And others give birth to a child. Today, we can say that the methods and rituals of shamanism are the most powerful that man has ever been able to come up with, even in our ultra-progressive 21st century. Do you want to hear the real story? What happened during the international seminar?
Yes, of course.
We really do. Voices were heard. Then Chandra nodded and spoke again. An illustrative story happened to Leonardo, one of our participants from Brazil. His business, which he had been developing alone for more than 15 years, was falling apart. There was a tough situation. It was clamped down by competitors. He received real threats. The whole thing was going to bankruptcy. Knowledgeable people recommended him to go to the place of power. But Leonardo was afraid to leave the business for a long time. It was only when he felt a real danger to his life that he bought a ticket, turned off his phone, and just disappeared for 2 weeks. During the expedition, there was a dangerous moment when he almost fell off a mountain, but his life was saved. Later, it turned out that at home at the same time, somebody blew up his car, thinking that he was inside. Then this businessman went through a shamanic ritual of purification, and it seemed to him that a weight was lifted from his shoulders. When he returned, he saw that his employees, whom he had never trusted, was rallied and pulled the company out of the crisis. They received a new, expensive order that saved the situation. And the competitors themselves seemed to have lost interest in him. The story was impressive, and I had no doubts about its veracity. Despite my critical mind, hungry for arguments and logical calculations, now I knew for sure that places of power were really filled with energy. I felt it in the here and now. Unity with nature, breathing with it in one beat, is a necessary condition for the rituals. An expedition to the places of power gives you a chance to find a common language with the spirit of water, hear the voice of the forest, find your spirit helper, and change your future. The most pleasant bonus is when you return home, all of you will be able to rule your lives with ease. On this encouraging note, Chandra ended the lecture, and I thought about how much I didn't want to go home. Here, in the mountains, I felt so easy and good. I felt that I wanted to live here. I wanted to engage in spiritual development and not in the senseless fuss with entrepreneurship. After the lecture part, we took a short break and moved on to practical classes. The mentor just suggested an exciting shamanic practice, during which we had to go down to the lower world to leave everything there that did not allow us to be rich. And so, during this practice, there was one funny and illustrative story which was a perfect illustration of how dangerous practicing in a state of negativity, anger, and aggression could be. This story happened not to me, but to one of the members of our group, a girl named Christina. She could have kept quiet about it, but after practice, she decided to tell everyone, so that we could benefit from her mistakes. Here, I will describe the story from her words, because during the practice, I, like other participants, was far outside the real world, and simply could not see and understand what was happening. When the practice started, Christina was in a disgusting state. She stood in the circle and felt growing annoyance. She was irritated by everything. The others shaking coins, the mentor beating the drum, the music playing. She was tense and exhausted by all the sounds that seemed to come at her from all sides. They were digging into her brain, provoking more irritation and unreasonable anger. Before the lesson, the mentor once again warned us. If someone is now in a negative state, it is better to leave the circle and don't do the practice. This could be dangerous. Christina, despite the warning, still remained in the circle, while continuing to mentally scold everyone around her, sinking deeper into her own negativity. "My God, how this all pisses me off," she thought, shaking her hair nervously, and then, just suddenly, felt the sharp smell of burning. She looked around and saw the participants standing with their eyes closed, and that the mentor who tried to harmonize everyone to start the practice was looking strangely at her, and, having called the assistant, quietly told him something, nodding towards Christina. It turned out that while the girl was annoyed at everything, she did not even notice that she was standing near an open fire. She came so close to the flames that her hair caught fire. And all this happened during the practice, which could not be interrupted. None of the class participants would have known that there was a whole mystery in parallel with the practice in which Christina was putting out her hair. And while she was gathering up her singed hair, which had fallen to the ground, she could hardly keep from laughing at herself, so as not to disturb anyone. She immediately realized that all this had happened for a reason, and thanked the spirits for showing her the meaningless of her stupid state. After the practice, everyone began to share their experiences, impressions, and revelations. Someone said, "I felt that we burned all the negative." Others enthusiastically confirmed it. "What a practice you've given us." And one woman even said, "And I felt such a terrible smell that I realized very well how unpleasant this evil spirit smells." The mentor only smiled at her in response, and Christina sent a wave of support with a kind look and without words. She realized that the girl's condition had already changed. Once again, I emphasize that this situation could have remained a secret between her and the mentor, but the girl decided to share it with us, so that in this funny lesson that the spirits taught her, everyone understood that our correct positive state was the key to beauty and harmony. It was the last morning before I left. When I woke up, as always, with the first rays of the sun, I was lying in my sleeping bag and meditatively looking at the weightless, whitish clouds, letting go of my thoughts and feelings, allowing them to flow freely and easily. Then I saw the teacher's face clearly in the sky. It was made up of flakes of clouds that was miraculously joined together to form a clear portrait. At first, I thought it was just my perception. There are times when you think that one cloud looks like an elephant, another like a bear, and a third like a giraffe. Could it be the same here? My critical mind, which was inclined to seek rational explanations for everything, made me turn away from the cloud and not look at it. Just a figment of the imagination. But it was unbearable to lie there for a long time with my back turned. Then I looked up at the sky again. In fact, the cloud could well change in contours or disappear entirely from the field of view. But when I turned my head back, the face was still there. At that time, I had only seen the teacher in photographs, and I especially remembered what he looked like in the one Indra had given me. And in that celestial portrait, the teacher was very similar to that photo of his. He was looking at me alone. The face hung over the cave for a long time, and as I looked at it, my understanding grew. This was not my imagination, but another sign, divine confirmation that I was on the right track. I suddenly felt such a powerful lift, such a rush of happiness, that I wanted to scream, to pour out this energy and tell everyone what I saw. Thus began one of the most important days of my life. The day I found out I was going to meet my teacher very soon. There was an exciting atmosphere of expectation in the camp. We knew that very soon the mentors would invite people for further training in the creative group. To receive such an invitation was a great honor and, at the same time, a huge responsibility. A chance is given only to the chosen, and they would face a difficult test. Yes, not all endured this training. For one reason or another, many went off the path. And when they left, they could not stay the same. You either develop and let the knowledge in, or you give up. And then you fall to a lower level, as it had happened with Alek. As Judas Iscariot fell, having betrayed Christ, and became the devil's plaything. While waiting for the mentor's decision, we talked a lot with each other about the upcoming changes in the fate of the lucky ones. We made our own assumptions about who would be invited. Of course, those had to be the most worthy. Young, active, capable, and purposeful. I did not even think that the mentors could choose me. First of all, I was quite a novice, and the creative group was meant for those who had been going to seminars for years, who already had some experience. Many started classes from childhood, absorbing the truths, as they say, with their mother's milk. How could they be compared to me? I even had learned about the chakras only a few months before. Second, I was already 24, which I thought was too old to be one of the students. In fact, I was not sure I was ready for such a generous gift. I did not consider myself the chosen one. Endowed with some high abilities and a strong will. And then, when it was time to go home, I felt so sad. I did not want to go back to the gray, boring world of my old life, and to the illusory reality that made me chase imaginary ideals. The thought of working and having to go back to Moscow for a few days to get the tapes made me feel sick. And then a miracle happened. Mentor Sri Ganesha announced that a creative group was being recruited and those who got there would live and develop themselves with the teacher. I felt that the hand of God had shown me the way to salvation, and although not everyone was taken, I was among the lucky few. When Sri Ganesha said my name, there was a stirring of anticipation in the back of my mind. In total, 8 students were invited, 3 men and 5 women. I did not believe it until the last moment. Even when the mentor started giving us an introductory speech, he congratulated us, talked about what we were going to do, and gave us some general advice. And I kept thinking, okay, everything is clear with them. These men and women who were standing next to each other, all of them had been practicing for years. But what did it have to do with me? After a short introductory speech, Sri Ganesha invited everyone to a private conversation. By the time it was my turn, I'd already changed my mind and was lost in speculation. What would he say? Sister, we have a proposition for you. He began. We need your help. I don't insist, and if you don't want to, you can refuse. I felt a wave of relief sweep through my body, as if this phrase allowed me to put aside all my fears, at the same time gave me new opportunities. It was an inexplicable rush of joy and freedom, which at the same time gave a sense of belonging to something very significant, something that I could touch. They needed my help. These words seemed to give me a foothold in the unknown world into which I was about to plunge. Being the eldest sister in the family, I was used to helping others and always felt a certain responsibility, not only for myself. I had never been afraid of responsibility, and I had even looked for it. A pioneer, activist, a squad leader. I was always ready to carry the battle flag. And here, suddenly, the mentors themselves needed help. The conductors of the power. How could I refuse? Later, I learned that this was the first spirit trap that I needed, as much as air to breathe, in order to take the first step towards my predestination. Like many other students, this helped me move to a new stage in my life, and I was immensely grateful to my mentors for such careful and sensitive guidance. You may have noticed that our books could have been better. The man continued, narrowing his eyes cunningly. Can you help us with that? I looked up and blinked in surprise. How did he know I had noticed that? In fact, every time I read the school's book, I thought about it. That here you could add illustrations, and here you could change the font and make the cover design more interesting. Such thoughts constantly visited me, but I never expressed them aloud. I did not even want to think about it. And here, it turned out that the mentors also wanted improvements. They literally read my mind. Of course, I immediately appreciated this request. And this was the second spirit trap. It was about doing things that I already liked and that were, if you can say so, my forte. So, I got into a new world unknown to me. Having that thing, perhaps, the only one that connected me with the usual life. And it gave great inspiration and strength. If I think now from the perspective of time and the new spiritual experience and knowledge that I gained with the teacher, this was one of the shortest paths to the power. Service. It does not matter what you do, but if it is aimed at helping something higher, it fills your life with a completely different meaning. Then, in simple everyday affairs, through service, abilities are revealed that you do not even know about. Don't be afraid. The mentor continued softly. We only invite you to join the creative group. The creative group? And what does it mean? I asked. At the same time, I suddenly realized that even direct training beside the teacher could go on different levels. It's not exactly an eco village. There are milder conditions. The mentor replied, It's comfortable there. You will be provided with all the conditions. You will just sit in your office and edit books. If you wish, you will walk and do spiritual practices. At the same time, I did not understand why the mentor was talking to me like that. He gently reassured me, gave me a confidence I did not have. From the outside, it might seem that he was trying to persuade me, although this was not quite true. He rather supported, calmed, gave an opportunity to believe in my own strength. Later, I realized that he did everything very elegantly and competently. He saw through me and read me like an open book. He felt my state of mind, my fears, worries, doubts. He saw that I did not think I was ready. So, I was asked to do everything gradually. Smoothly, through a request to help, and through those moments that really hooked me. I felt, at that moment, the joy of being trusted. It was nice to know that I could really help. I was happy. Doubts and fears disappeared. I calmed down and gratefully agreed to the offer. I also thought how good it was that I did not have my little sister and my young man to talk me out of it and drag me back to the swamp of the past. I fell into the ingenious spirit traps. But now, years later, I'm very grateful to the mentors. That they did everything exactly like this. At the end of the last day of the seminar, we gathered in a large clearing on the high bank of Khosta Gorge, where we could see the mountains and the opposite bank of the gorge. The mentors said that the teacher had levitated here and had been transported through the air from one side of the gorge to another, which was about 300 meters deep. The cliff of the bank was 200 meters high. When everyone was doing the final spiritual practice of the seminar, white streaks appeared in the sky, one after another, similar to the trail of an airplane. The most interesting thing was that the plane itself was not visible, and the streaks were separated from each other quite differently. The plane's trail was usually one solid line, but here several lines appeared at once. One of the members of our group had binoculars, and he looked through them at the sky. "Guys, look!" he shouted excitedly. "There's a message!" We were all very surprised and took turns looking through the binoculars and trying to read the words formed by the white lines. And when it was my turn, I took the binoculars and immediately saw the letters that said,
"People of Earth, wake up! Death is very close."
As soon as I read this sentence, I felt like a bolt of electricity went through me. What was it? A foretaste of the Armageddon that had been written about in the school's newspaper? I could not believe my eyes. But this time, unlike all the previous signs, this message was seen by all our group members. We all stared at each other in horror, slowly realizing what exactly the writing in the sky was saying.
"What's going to happen now?" asked one of the brothers, addressing the mentor.
And everyone froze, waiting for something terrible, prophetic.
"Don't worry," the mentor replied. "This is a warning from God to mankind. You are all on the right track. Pass this message to your friends and explain that they need to develop spiritually more quickly and do more good deeds. Since there is very little time left before the end of the world, if it is possible to make many people follow the path of spiritual development, the earth will be saved. The main thing is to make more efforts so that as many people as possible get on the spiritual path. Stop being selfish and destroy the earth." The mentor's voice was confident, and there was a bright hope in his words that everything could still be fixed.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power.
participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.